Morning. Today's readings from Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 to 24. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Morning, everybody. So you've just received the worst piece of news that you could ever have. It's news that's going to turn your life upside down. You are in utter turmoil. You go to bed, you manage to get to sleep, and then you have this dream of an angel that comes before you and says, "It's all right, don't be afraid." So what's your reaction likely to be? Probably utter panic. Because Joseph was facing trials that tested him beyond anything he'd ever experienced before. Because in their rural Middle Eastern backwater, where culture was driven by honor and shame, for his 16-year-old or thereabouts fiancé to become pregnant was just about the worst thing that could happen, especially as he wasn't the father and Mary had come up with this story that the child had been conceived by God. Who's going to believe that? And in Jewish custom, engagement was the same in all practical intents and purposes as being married, because the only way that you could break an engagement was actually by divorce. And if she became pregnant, Joseph had three options. The first one is that he could accept the baby as his, which wasn't unusual. Or he could quietly divorce her. Or he could kick up a fuss. And if he kicked up a fuss, it would probably or possibly result in her being stoned. And it wasn't just Joseph's views that mattered, because there was his family. They would have a view on all of this. "What are you doing marrying this woman? She has brought disgrace on you." And what about her family? Well, they'd had a strange conception by an elderly cousin called Mary, Elizabeth. So they would maybe had some idea of something strange going on. But must she die as a result? But Joseph loved her. What was he to do? Who was going to believe the story that she was going to bear the long-promised Messiah? He wanted to believe, but it all just seemed so sort of incredible. And as he dreams, the angel answers Joseph's questions one by one. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a good man, and he was inclined to take the gentle option of a quiet divorce. So firstly, the angel tells him that he shouldn't be afraid to take Mary as his wife. There is a sub-message there. The sub-message is that Mary has not been playing fast and loose. Mary is okay to take as your wife. And the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, just as she'd said. And Joseph is still in a dilemma. He can still walk away from this thing. There's nothing at this point tying him to Mary apart from his love for her. And if he didn't walk away, the consequences of that dream were going to be massive. Now, what I'm going to say now, I'm convinced in my spirit, is for somebody here today. And that is, you don't have to understand what's going on to buy into God's plans. You don't have to understand what's going on to buy into God's plan. Most people find that it's one step at a time as God takes us one step at a time, as he did with Joseph. And frankly, we'd be scared if we knew all of the things that God has in store for us. And as the story moves on, it's interesting that Joseph never actually gets the answers to all of the questions that he will have had in his mind. You know, who is this? God with us? How can that be God as a baby? Where's this all going to take us? My life, my family? Where's it all going to happen? Have I got to go to Jerusalem? And when is he going to become the Messiah? Is he Messiah now? Or is he going to become it? Or is he going to grow up to be it? And how on earth is the Messiah going to save his people? All these sort of questions, all these sort of uncertainties. But these didn't stop Joseph from taking a decision to follow. And that's the essence of faith. And the angel goes on to tell Joseph some more, as we'll see in a second. And it seems that he's inclined to support Mary. And so as he sees his way as spending his future with her, what else does the angel say? The angel wants two things of Joseph. The first thing, that he'll look after Mary. And the second thing, that he'll name the child. And old Jewish traditions put the responsibility of naming the child with the father. You remember in the case of Zechariah, when Elizabeth came to produce the baby, everybody wanted to know from Zechariah, so what are you going to call the baby? And it was the same in this. And Jewish traditions suggest that the child should be named after somebody that you respect and admire, a model for your child to follow. Although, incidentally, tradition also has that you shouldn't name the child after one of the parents. The name should bring up joyful memories, joyful feelings. So, for example, you wouldn't name a child after your Uncle Shlomo, who embezzled the family business or something like that. You know, it would be somebody who had good feelings. And Yeshua was a common name for families to name a child, because everybody admired the man that we know as Joshua, and from whom Yeshua was a shortened derivation of Jehoshua, which was Joshua's Hebrew name. And it means the Lord saves. A good name to name a child. Jesus would not have been the only Jesus in his class at school. But then Joseph is given a remarkable revelation. The Lord saves will not just be his name. It'll be his purpose. It'll be his calling. He will be the promised Messiah. And Joseph wasn't just being asked to look after a baby that wasn't his. He was being asked to play a central part in how God's plan of eternity was being unraveled to mankind as he engaged to look after this baby who was to be God himself. One writer's put it, the hinge of history was on the door of the Bethlehem stable. And actually, we proclaim that hinge of history every time we write the date, don't we? Whether we like it or not, it's about him. And this is the amazing truth that God offers all of us. Even if it doesn't make sense, will we take Christ into our household this Christmas and do life with him? So Joseph is told to name the child Jesus, but then the angel goes on to say that this is to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah brought 700 years before. He said the child will be called Emmanuel, God with us. This has got to be one of the most astonishing truths we ever try to get our head round. And it comes in two parts. The first, the God. This little baby is to be God himself. Not like God, but God in every sense. Never being less than God and never being less than fully human. Both at the same time. And God somehow contracted into a little baby without ever ceasing to be God. We find that hard to understand. But don't let's fall into a trap of saying that just because we don't understand something, that it can't be true. And the second thing is that throughout all of history, the voice of God resounds with an absolute assurance, I am with you. And it unfolds in breathtaking detail through the experience of countless individuals and families and tribes and cities and nations and generations. Ezekiel's promise through God for eternity was, my dwelling shall be with them. I shall be their God and they shall be my people. And it's happened through many other people. Genesis 26:26, don't be afraid, for I am with you and I will bless you. And that was to Isaac, right at the beginning of his journey with God. A bit further on in Genesis 28:15, I am with you, I will keep you wherever you go. And that was to Jacob, even after his devious behavior to his brother had created such a huge rift that Esau wanted to kill him. Joshua 3:7, I will be with you as I was with Moses. This promise to Moses was repeated to Joshua, and it spread beyond the family of Jacob, but to a nation as they learned to understand God's willingness to walk with them. 1 Chronicles 17:2, do all that you have in mind, for God is with you. And that was to the new King David. And here we have in Isaiah 41 again, this is a nation which is about to be taken into exile. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be afraid, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you. And to Jeremiah, when he was asked to do something that he didn't want to do, don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you. I am your Lord. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take delight in you. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And that was to a people who were about to go through tough times. Matthew. It's interesting, isn't it, what people's last words are. If you get to choose your last words, they're always of significance. And these were Jesus' last words to his disciples, to us if you like. Remember, I'm with you always. That's the last thing that Jesus wants us to hear. I am with you always. And again to an individual, don't be afraid, speak, do not be silent, I'm with you. No one will lay a hand on you to harm you. And that was to Paul, who's under threat of being murdered. And in Revelation, see, the home of God is now amongst his people. He will live with you forever. Over and over and over through the Bible, this truth is played out in the comings and the goings of his people. And when you look at the circumstances in which these verses appear over and over and over again, there are no circumstances of life where God is not promising to be with you if you will walk with him. Because God himself wants to do life with you. Do you want to think about that for a minute? God himself wants to do life with you. You are worth his attention. You are worth his company. Let your souls grasp the enormity of that. But this divine invitation, which thunders down through the ages, is one of the unifying centers of the Bible. And every story in the Bible, no matter what its twists and turns, whether the human characters are in it are trustworthy or not, whether it's sad or unhappy, this is the clarion call to relationship. I am with you. Will you be with me? That's what God is saying to every one of us this morning. There are 40 instructions in the Bible where we're told to follow God. 18 are in the Old Testament, 22 in the New Testament. And there are 21 occasions where we are asked to walk with him. And if you add up all the other variations on the same sort of words, it's hundreds of times. This Emmanuel is not a new idea. It's been God's plan from the very, very beginning. And as you look at Jesus' ministry, the words follow me, these are the words that appear again and again. And the root word that which we get follow is disciple. And the word disciple is about a follower. And understanding what God is saying to us, you know, it really is important. And you know what I'm going to say now? That if you want to dig more and find out what God is saying to you, and you've not got a decent study Bible, Christmas is the time to get one. The NLT study Bible is just brilliant. And it will help you to understand some of the things that God is saying to you and the way that God wants to do life with you. I spoke with Nigel. Just wave your hand, Nigel, in case anybody doesn't know. Nigel runs a Christian bookshop. I asked him over the weekend, if anybody wants one of these for Christmas, is it too late? And the answer is, if he has your order today, no, it's not too late. But it is a brilliant, brilliant book. It makes God's word clear. But relationship isn't just based on truth. It's based on walking together. It's an active word. It's relational. It's about following where Jesus leads. And it always comes with an invitation. Scripture is rooted in invitation. God has given us the freedom to choose. He's given us the power to change. And he's given us the opportunity to walk in trust with him. This morning, you have the power to choose. You have the power to change. You have the opportunity to walk with God. God is with you. Will you walk with him? And this is the dynamic of the Emmanuel principle, the God with us way of life, if you like. The big question, do we really want to walk with God? Do we want to bring him in with everything that we do? We read in verse 20 that Joseph carefully considered things, and we need to do as well. We need to consider how a baby that smelt like any other baby, let's not kid ourselves, that yelled like any other baby, was in fact no less than God himself. Now, why is that important? The clue is in John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, and this is what it says. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to be the children of God. Reborn, not with a physical birth from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. A few weeks ago, we had the phenomenon of Black Friday, which offered all sorts of special deals on all sorts of merchandise, some of which you never realized you wanted. But Jesus' life culminated in the Black Friday offer of a lifetime. It was a Black Friday offer that's different to any other, a permanent free offer of forgiveness of the past and new life for the future. as he himself paid off our debts, paid off the past, and promised to walk with us every day of our life. And you may be wondering about that invitation now to become a child of God. Let there be a new baby this Christmas. Let it be you. Why not take up the offer? This autumn, we've been using a prayer to help people make that new start. Joseph didn't totally understand what was happening. And if you commit your life to Christ, neither will you. But we read that Joseph obeyed God's call, and bit by bit, God led him forward. And you can do that today as you pray this prayer that we've used before. Let me read it. Lord Jesus, I know you love me and that your death on the cross meant that you took the punishment for sin I deserve. Please forgive me and clean me from all my guilt and shame so that I can be at peace with you and know peace of heart. I acknowledge you as the resurrected Lord of my life, and I will follow you forever. Receive me as your child. Fill me with the life-changing presence of your Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, there are some leaflets on the reception desk which are entitled, Why Christmas? And there's also some notes to help get you started. Just ask. Nobody's going to quiz you about it. Just ask on the desk, can I have one of those booklets? And we'll have them for you. But this is the Black Friday offer of a lifetime. In fact, it's the Black Friday offer of eternity. So this Christmas, bring it to life in your house. Amen.